So that was Better Things by Civilized Animal, the unofficial or perhaps official theme song of Bruce Rule Design, and probably also of the GPS
PMS Consortium.
Do you want to explain?
Yes. Well, it's just basically a comment on the whole fear that, you know, persists our culture, you know, and basically it's not hard to think of better things, and it really shouldn't be scary to think outside of what you've been taught. If you project your fear out there, you're the only one who is advocating for that. You know, you're the only person stopping it.
Yeah.
And yourself.
I think that really gets down to the heart of a lot of things I try to talk about on the show, is this entire culture has been built up around being afraid of trying other things, mm-hmm. even when we desperately need to try other things.
Or not even afraid, but what about the people who are just so angry? It's like, I really have had to work on my own anger, you know, and I realized finally, just gotta quit kicking the dead horse and and then complaining about the smell on your shoe.
Yeah.
What you really gotta do is bury the thing.
Yeah.
And then harvest the mushrooms that come up a year later.
That's a good extended metaphor.
So I wanted to play that song at the beginning because that's what I want to focus on in this interview. I want to focus on better things. You know, how instead of just... You realize for a permaculturalist, I realized this on the bike ride over. I was shouting my head off to Elf as we were riding here. And I realized the problem is the solution on a more profound level. It's actually for a permaculturalist, your problem is the answer to my question. That, you know, gives me the solution, like, you know, where am I going to get the dirt? Oh, we have all this biomass that we don't know mm-hmm. what to do with.
Yeah.
And it's building up and causing problems and getting mice and, you know, mm-hmm. and cats and.
Yeah. Well, there's so many, because last week we talked a little bit about, you know, basics of what is permaculture. And I've talked about it on the show before because I think it's exciting and I'm getting sucked more and more into that world. probably be a full blown permie pretty soon. But It's about creating closed systems, whole systems, and almost all the systems we have, I don't want to linger on the problems, but we have all these systems that are built in lines, these linear things. And at the end of them, and sometimes along the way, there's just these stupid, unnecessary traps for waste to accumulate, you know, like the dirt that you guys are taking care of for the city.
Right. So. It's there's another great Civilized Animal song called Plasticity. And the very first lyric is saying, we want someone else to do the things that we can do already. We can just do it ourselves. And, you know, I think, but you see, that's not a problem to the permaculturalist. That's actually a great asset, you know, for a business. Mm-hmm. Just making permaculture your business. And, you know, so people who want to solve the problem but never learned how can mm-hmm. trust you to and learn about it themselves, you know, in the process. It's a replicating concept as well.
Mm-hmm. It's really a problem solving tool kit, sort of, is part of the way I see all the design principles, the 46
right principles. And it's it's direct observation of, you know, 100% proven natural facts. You get more surface area when you have folds or you stack.
Mm-hmm. So basic.
Yeah, it's really, really fundamental chemistry and physics. And, you know, not that, but it's translated in such an easy to read way. You know, it's mm-hmm. just a list of some principles. And
yeah.
I'll have to say that taking a basic chemistry class this last year was extremely helpful, not only in understanding the environment, you know, and my weather the weather that's in Spokane. We spend a lot of time watching that. But also, I realized with permaculture giving me, with that permaculture eye, you know, I could see that actually chemistry also applies to social dynamics, which is business, ethics, religion, economics. And so, I don't know, that kind of blew my mind when I was taking the chemistry class, and we've been working on our model of a social molecule.
Mm-hmm. When I came by to visit yesterday, you guys were working on the social periodic table
of elements.
The periodic table of social elements, I suppose.
Yeah.
I was pretty fascinated by that idea. So I'm curious to see it expand over to the more dense elements as you move across.
Yeah. So. Oh, it's just so great. I remember a couple weeks ago, we were at this meeting at Sun People Dry Goods, and someone asked us, give us an example of a working self-sustainable system, right? And Elf, I love that guy. He just points out there and goes, hey, I think I see one out there. It's working just fine. And, you know, it might not be working in our favor.
Yeah.
But it's working.
It's working.
And I just thought that was really funny. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. Instead of asking the what if and having the theories, you just look at what is, kind of, and so.
And mimic that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how, I talked a little bit with Elf about Lease Your Lawn last week. But do you want to just kind of give an overview, too, in case people are listening who didn't hear that, and talk about maybe what you need for that project?
Oh, yes.
I want to help get your needs met.
Oh, yes. And I also have a couple business things to say. Maybe I'll bring it up later. Lease Your Lawn is a co-op that we are forming the structure for, and basically it comprises of the landowner, the laborers, and the designers, the permaculture designers. And the landowner only has to give the property, and the percentage of property tells you what kind of percentage you have in your for the share at the end of the harvest. But you give us your land, and or you give yourselves the land, and then there will be a labor force, which the homeowners can also be a part of if they want, that will go in and make the lawns a food-producing area that can be sold for 10% market price at either, set up marts for the summer or at the convenient mini stores of the area. And we're looking for any kind of land and also roofs. But the breakdown is homeowners get 40%, an equal share of 40% of the harvest. Laborers get an equal share of 40%. Designers get an equal share of 5%. And then 15% goes towards a nonprofit that is doing progressive community things, solutions.
Cool.
And it's gonna be absolutely wonderful. So you all have that to look forward to. But we need, you know, the more land we get, the faster we can do it, and the more food we can produce for you,
and the more people you can employ.
Mm-hmm. And the more people
can employ themselves,
right?
Since it's a co-op, so
we're giving people a chance to employ themselves using resources in the city. We're bringing the farms that usually feed the city, we're bringing the farms into the city and just sort of transplanting that. Mm-hmm. We really don't have a lot of farmers left in the world. It's kind of surprising.
It's less than 1% of their right. chant could be, we are like the 0.05% or
right.
something.
Well, globally. I mean, why are apples $3 a pound? And why do we only have four choices of apples.
Yeah. And why are there apples rotting all over the ground over by the river?
Right.
You know, I can only take home so many of them.
And, you know, this is a common argument that's been, or not an argument, but an observation that's been stated for 40 years. And so, finally doing something about it. Mm-hmm. And you can be part of it. So please contact us. Unfortunately, we will, well, not unfortunately, we will be out of the public market for the month of September. And so despite any rumors you might hear, I'm just going to tell you why. We have really exciting news. We just got a... We have all the dirt that we could ever want. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
And so we are planning, doing the logistics for moving that dirt and getting it to the properties that have already pledged their lawns.
How many properties is that so far?
I can't say exactly. We're going to be meeting with SNAP this week.
Oh, okay. But yeah. So it ranges from dozens to hundreds.
Well,
a dozen. Okay. We'll just, and I won't get anyone in trouble, but it's a lot.
You know, anyone responds to this.
And they can email, they can email you at nwbushman@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Sounds good.
nwbushman@gmail.com.
Or find you on Facebook, and I'll put both of those links in the podcast description. So if people are listening to this after the fact or they want to find it, they can track it down that way.
Thank you. Yeah, so we'll just be out of the public market for about a month, and then we'll be back for sure. And I would also like to plug the first Friday bike ride that's going to be happening, and it's at the public market. It's starting this Friday, September 6th at 6 o'clock at the public market. We're starting there. It's going to be a fundraiser. We're going to be selling these spoke cards that get you discounts at the different restaurants and businesses that we'll be visiting.
Cool.
The impetus for this project was, or for this bike ride, was essentially the market opened up for First Friday a couple months ago, and the market's kind of out of the way. You know, they're not... really, but it seems like it because there's a bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to go under the second is kind of unwelcoming.
Yeah.
So bringing people there.
Most of the art walk is on foot. Mm-hmm. You know, that's when, at least how I've always done it. And so we asked the art walk if they would like to add pedals to their program, and they thought it was absolutely brilliant. And so our goal is 200 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
By this Friday. So get your bike tuned up.
Yes. Please do. We want to see all of you there. And the spoke cards will be $3, and so far they get you $7.50 in discounts. You get a buy one, get one half off at the market. And then we're going to take our ride around the city and end up at Soulful Soups, which will get you a BOGO deal.
Nice.
And the more spoke cards you buy, the more discounts you get. So it's going to be
And it's all fundraising for...
Right. It's going to be fundraising for our Chainbreaker Co-op project that will be producing Spokane Public Market brand hand tools, compost bins, worm boxes, and hoop houses, all made in America
by
the juvie court system, the people that come down to the market to do their community service.
Awesome.
Yeah. And after their community service is done, if they, you know, enjoyed it, they get a chance to own their own business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really glad to see both through you guys starting up co-ops, and I know the Oak Tree is looking at starting some co-ops too and exploring what the options are. I'm hoping that, you know, most of the employment in this area is going to be worker-owned in the next 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
That's my bold goal. You guys are inspirational people as far as setting bold goals.
Well.
Elf's holding up three fingers saying 3 years instead of five. So.
Yep. That economic conference was really inspiring, seeing the Mondragon model. Mm-hmm. So for-profit co-ops, that's the way to go.
And it's been interesting for me because you two kind of throw a lot of my previous ideas under the bus in some ways. And I'm still grappling with that because usually I hear the word profit and my stomach kind of makes this unfortunate like clenching because I've just learned to really not like that word. And same with cities. You know, I've kind of been thinking of cities in this way of, you know, they just can't work because they're a resource drain. So
We were talking about this morning, and Elf brought up a really great example. That's, you know, you may have heard this example before, but it's industry is described as a machine and money is the lubricant for the parts and, or the grease, you could call it the grease. And Americans really like to like eat the grease and like stuff it in their pockets, smear it on their face, their bodies, you know, they hoard it. Yeah. And once all the grease, extra grease was gone, you know, they started stripping the machines of it. And if you don't have any grease, your machine's going to break. And, you know, there's other places where if there's too much grease, too much lubricant, too much money, it's just a mess also. And so, and, you know, I was contemplating this week the evolution of my idea of money, you know, or my personal evolution with that. And I used to have conversations with my dad arguing about, like, there's no need for money. No one needs it. It's just a bad thing, you know, and he just didn't understand. He just was like, no, or I felt like he didn't understand, yeah. You know, and, but contemplating it, you do, I mean, it's got a great function and it's, you know, it's a form of barter and you just don't need gobs and gobs and gobs of it. You know, there's, any great businessman will tell you, you need to diversify your resources. And mm-hmm. So, you know, I've just sort of seen it as that money is just another form of energy. That's, you know, chemistry class also taught me that. So
that is an interesting way to think about it. And that shakes it up for me too. But I don't remember what I was about to ask or tell you, but it's going to come back to me in just a moment.
But, you know, with energy, there's energy potentials, right? There's reactions that can, you need a certain amount of energy to make the reaction happen. It's just another form of,
mm-hmm. Well, you know. That's what I remember what I was thinking about. So there's a writer named David Graeber who wrote the first and I think only like comprehensive history of debt, mm-hmm. of the idea of debt. And he's a really interesting guy to hear talk. And he talks about a lot of myths about why money emerged. And part of what he says that really stuck with me, that I think the projects you're working on are actually building towards, he says, ideally, you know, money isn't something you would ever use in your community. It's something that you would use for trade outside of it, because in a real community, people just share things and people are, you know, it's a cooperative model of living. And I feel like the model you're trying to build in Spokane moves a lot closer towards that. What do you think about that? Like, mm-hmm. Like yes. if you know people, it's easy to say, oh, I have all these tomatoes and you know how to fix my bike. So.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the barter system is very, you know, very extreme version of it. You know, with our solutions, we're not taking old. I mean, what I'm saying is, like, it's also, we've coined this phrase socio-capitalism. Social capitalism. Sorry.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah. Mind blank for a second. And so that is a new form of economic model that's just, it's so similar. I mean, it's very similar to what we're used to. That's why it's easy to adopt what we've created, because it's so close. Like, you still have a work trade relationship, you know, people are busy, they like to be doing things. Mm-hmm. It's just we've lowered the money aspect, like the value of it, kind of, because at least for food, you know, food is something that shouldn't be so expensive. It's prolific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it in theory it reproduces itself, you know,
it right, and it amends the land itself. And so for that aspect of trade and commerce, that's just, it's just something that you don't even have to smash, or, you know, you don't need to protest, you just need to do it.
Just start making the right. New stuff, the better things.
You just need Hence to start, if you don't want to, you know, give over, like, all your budget to food, or you don't want to have those children starving on the street, or, you know, when I was younger, I did a lot of work at, like, charity, and when I was in college, I did a lot of work at food banks in Spokane, and one time had a job as a nursing aide while, like, I had like three jobs essentially for the whole summer. And I remember having those nights where I had to choose to sleep or eat because I couldn't do both at the same time. And it was just really traumatic. And I can't believe people do that all the time and they're okay with it.
Mm-hmm. Or they're just too depressed
to do something about it. Right. And so I didn't get necessarily depressed. I just felt fire under my feet, you know, and just food was too expensive. So I made sure I was connected to a food bank because mm-hmm. You look out there, there's no food in the city. Mm-hmm. We have all these invisible walls at the grocery store in our minds that, because we didn't make it, I don't know.
No,
it just seems really strange. And so I took permaculture class in January, and by the way, both Elf and I want to give a shout out to Skeeter, or Michael Pilarski, who heads the Friends of the Tree Society. We want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for giving us the scholarships that you did. Mm-hmm. Elf got a full ride, and I got, you know, pay whatever you can. I think I paid $250 or something. Cool. And so that's the other thing, you guys. If you want to get a permaculture degree, become certified in the science, don't worry about the money aspect. There's always work trade available.
Mm-hmm. And
we're all about that.
That leads right into upcoming, the 13th through the 15th, which is not this coming weekend, but the one after, is the Inland Northwest Permaculture Convergence.
Right.
And people can still sign up for that and find out. And it's just across the, you know, it's just a jump across the border in northern Idaho in Hayden. And I'm just Googling the details right now so I can give you a website. And I'm also trying to talk. So, so you can go to inlandnorthwestpermaculture.com and find it. So that's kind of that's the best entry point, really, mm-hmm. right? For people who are finding this notion interesting.
Well, possibly.
Possibly. Or yeah. For people who already are and want to expand their skills, you'll be giving workshops.
Yes, we will be giving two lectures, and one on using permaculture in an urban environment in general and sort of what we've done with Lease Your Lawn and our sausage model.
What does sausage stand for?
It stands for the Skyline Urban Agrarian.
Self-sustainable.
Self-sustainable. Excuse me. Self-sustainable Urban Agrarian Skyline Garden.
It's a, I don't blame you for forgetting some of it. I just love that it spells something.
No, I was, yeah, I just had a flashback. That's why I was messing up. My dyslexia is due to an overactive imagination.
But that's also what your success is probably due to. So
right,
it's all good. Don't it suppress is. Your imagination. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Praxis on KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, talking with Margaret Rule of Bruce Rule Design and the GPS, Go Permaculture Spokane, PMS.
Consortium.
Consortium.
Yeah.
What does PMS stand for?
Permaculture Mad Scientists.
Okay. That's what I forgot. Okay. There's so many acronyms. I love acronyms, but I get, I'm glad that we have these like new positive ones. I feel like a lot of the acronyms in this country have very negative. It's the FBI and the CIA and SWAT and all these things. Well, I think we can.
Yeah. And, you know, we're, it's a kind of a command. Go Permaculture Spokane, people.
Go do it.
We don't need more solutions. We just need more action. All the solutions have been created.
And what, that's what I think kind of, that's why I'm fascinated with you, because you've just dove in basically and just taken action and kind of taken the lead. What has your strategy been as far as, I mean, you have people in the city on your side, you have people in important organizations around here as far as, you know, shaping what Spokane looks like, pretty much telling you like, you're amazing, do whatever you want, from how I hear it.
Right, because their problem is our solution, and that's just kind of how the game is played, or if you want to compare it to a game, which it's not, but it's just, I, well, it's more like a puzzle. People end up, the strategy is listening. Honestly, you know, when we go and do a land survey at someone's property, we did that last week. It's, this is kind of how we, this is our strategy. And yes, we're doing it for land, but yes, you can also do it when you're looking at a social infrastructure or a business. So we go and we tour the land and we listen to the person give us the history of each of the trees, all the plants, what they like, what they don't like. You know, we look at the resources. We usually ride our bike out to the place first. But so we do that. We do the tour and then we, you know, we brainstorm a little bit and run around like mad, you know, having aha moments all over the place and just looking at a world of better things for these people. And then we stop and we turn to the people that own the property and we say, hey, so for the next 2 weeks, we need you to write down all the things you've ever wanted in a garden, you know, whether you wanted to work in it or not. And, you know, even go outside and stake out the area and then we'll come in and we'll look at it and tell you if it's actually, you know, there's no such thing as can't, but there is such thing as wrong place for wrong plant. So we'll just take a look at it and just make that happen, kind of. And people, I mean, it's, we listen to a lot of people. Therefore, we know where all the resources are, and it's essentially just connecting people together. Mm. It's, you know, that's kind of our strategy.
Just tying all the loose ends in. It's kind of like you're knitting. I think you're knitting.
Yeah, and looking the for systems the systems
back together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really, it's been just so fascinating and eye opening and wonderful. It's everything I ever wanted to do with my job. So.
How do you think, what do you think the reception's going? Because right now people are having to picture a lot in their minds, you know, because you're collecting the properties, you have all the plans and everything. When this actually gets rolling and people's lawns are being converted into high yield food production left and right, you know, and people are being employed, how quick do you hope to see the spread? And is this going on in other cities?
I believe it's going on in a couple other cities. I don't remember the exact city. But it wouldn't be on the scale.
Okay.
Because we would have heard about it. Probably.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in Cleveland, Detroit, some places in New York. But nothing to what the scale that we are achieving. So your question was
how do you see this spread of this notion, this different really entirely different way of doing systems?
Essentially it's people will be able to understand it once they see it and interact with it. And so the purpose of explaining it so many times to each individual person is we're looking for people to help us create it, you know, make it a physical reality. Because once people see the model and they are part of it and they're directly benefiting from it, you know, then it'll spread faster. Because all you see now for sustainable technology is, this will only, you know, cover a little, like some percent of it. And after 4 to 10 years, you're going to recomp whatever you spent on it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, I took one look at that and said, how about just making me save money tomorrow?
Yeah.
and then, you know, so I started bringing that up and people would tell me that it's not possible. But the thing is, I saw it in Costa Rica, you know. So what do you mean you can't live like that? What do you mean you can't get electricity? You can't get clean water? You can't, you know, you can't make your own dirt in the city because it's too pathogenic? And it's like, you know, you need to respect the bacterial world too. That's my alter ego, Millie-Doo coming out.
Wanting to respect the bacterial world. Yeah. Well, it's the thing is, what was I about to tell you? What is the thing? I got so distracted. You're talking about shifting systems, people having to see it to believe it. Oh, I know we don't want to talk about problems, but I've been fascinated, which is a nicer way to say I've been deeply frustrated with the general, like, quote unquote, progressive community and these really just pipe dream notions of how we're going to solve or prevent catastrophic climate change. This idea that it's going to be recycle more and put your solar panels on. It's like, well, where are the solar panels all going to come from? You know, you're going to have to still be relying on fossil fuels. This doesn't solve the food problem. It doesn't solve the feedback loops that drive climate
change.
And
those are just people who have to be right. I call that building an ecosystem.
An ecosystem?
Instead of an ecosystem. Here at the PMS GPS Consortium, we've come up with a new phrase that I want all of you guys to start, you know, talking about, please. And it goes, you know, instead of reduce, reuse, recycle, it goes, shut up, walk around, observe, and interact.
That's the new reduce, reuse, recycle.
Right. And it's just, yeah, I just wanted to say that. Yeah.
So shut up, meaning like, don't bring all your assumptions to the table.
Yeah, you cannot assume.
Walk around.
I found that.
Actually experience things rather than, I think that might be a big part of it that I hadn't really thought of, but so much of how we interact with each other and the world is virtual at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That I think it's very alluring. It's very attractive to just disconnect from the actual physical natural world. And you get people believing all kinds of really strange notions.
I just, once that was brought to my attention that my generation grew up with a two-dimensional mind, I immediately was concerned. And so I've been kind of trying to figure out how to make my mind three-dimensional, you know, using all your senses. That's essentially why you have them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And better to learn now than later. So it's just, that's why we say you need to stop talking. Because whenever I do like a design on someone's land, I'm still learning that one. You know, I kind of just sort of bound about looking at all the pretty things and, you know, getting stuck on weird questions that I've never had to think about because, you know, I lived in a city. So there's nothing wrong with that. But really, you know, I think people get too stuck on making lists, honestly.
Hmm.
Instead of, like, talking to the looking at what the environment is giving you. Because if it costs green to go green, you're doing it wrong. You know, and that includes time, green time.
Hmm. Time is money, right? Or yes. Whatever they say. That's so I really like what you said about our because we're in the same generation. Mm-hmm. We're within about a year of each other, I think. And it's really interesting. I wonder how that happened. And I think the technology aspect is probably a large part of it that people see. I mean, people in our generation see that we've been screwed over by the system that we were given and put into. You know, people have all this debt. They're highly educated, but there's nothing for them to do. But I'm finding so many people who get that, but they don't feel qualified.
I think there's a lot for them to do.
Exactly. And they don't feel qualified to just decide, this is what I'm going to do.
Well, they just want to specialize. And that's an ego system.
Hmm.
That's egonomics. I want to, you know, just like just the fact that they can't think of anything better to do besides one profession. Well, I don't know. I've always been fascinated with maximizing my human potential. And I would hear those statistics like, oh, the average American only uses 10% of its brain, you know? And I was like, I don't want to be that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to use more of my brain. I didn't see that as some, you know, definitive definition
it's
of my intellect.
It's not just part of your condition. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, woe is me. I live in the U.S., so I guess I'm only going to use 10% of my brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Forever.
And then the other part about the two-dimensional is, I think my mind is very much like a computer. It's very linear. You know, it asks all the questions before you have to click OK. It's ridiculous, you know. And I've just spent the last year observing animals. We've got two dogs. And then also observing the plants because they are all alive. You know, I kind of, when I do that, I feel like I pretend I'm an alien. And that's the first thing I meet. And I have to discover how it communicates with the world around it. And it's just another form of life, essentially. So that adds a lot to the three-dimensional aspect because you have to actually, like, understand a language. And, you know, I think I've realized that every person has you just can't assume what a person's been through. I don't know. This is sounding cliche now, but empathy is like a part of the human sense that we have been progressively dampening, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and we can see all the horrible effects.
Well, like just the other day, this guy, we were explaining the Chainbreaker Co-op using the juvenile court system in Spokane. And he immediately responded, oh, juvie court kids are street kids. They're dangerous. And I looked at him and I said, yeah, but you know, it's more dangerous, sir. Apathy. Mm-hmm. Because that's all the fear is doing is, you know, creating a barrier from the solution.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, that's been a frustration for me with this supposed, the quote unquote street kid problem in Spokane and, you know, the closing of these different businesses being blamed on these kids and stuff. And it shouldn't be difficult to go through the psychological effects of, like, if you're treated as a problem pretty much your entire life, you know, you didn't fit into school right, you didn't do this right, you didn't do that right. You know, what's going to happen? Maybe.
Yeah. And how about that apparently it's national case in Spokane where a potential suspected black kid beat an old veteran. And, you know, samurai say, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And I don't understand why it's so national. It's just one separated, narrow case in the broad scope of America. So that's, you know, mm-hmm. one really evident form of fear, wag the dog, that we've seen just recently. And I think that's really interesting. How about, I will be so happy the day my projects get broadcasted nationally like that.
Yeah, I will do my best to help that happen.
But so it's, you know, that's media for you.
Yeah. Well, some. That's mainstream media for you. We're not that here. But
that's kicking the dead horse and then complaining about the stink.
It is. Exactly. I was about to say, let's move forward into the future. And what's your ideal? What does Spokane look like in 15 years to you?
It looks like the Worldwide Expo in the 70s, you know, was all about nature. And so it just looks like a gorgeous metropolis and a very healthy, happy place, vibrant place to live, where people can actually live their potential instead of being, you know, being worried about buying food and having a, well, you know, because earlier this summer I was looking for a job. Actually, all this time I've been looking for a job, and all I can find are other people who are looking for a job, or people who are so scared to lose their job because they mm-hmm. have one and they're thankful for it, I guess. And so people who are working for something that actually benefits them, like 100% invested in it. That's what I see, if that makes mm-hmm. sense.
Meaningful work that's actually doing something that's getting the person somewhere, like off of the treadmill.
Yeah, there'd just be... I see people having more time to spend with each other.
That was supposed to be the point. I mean, that was the way that all of this technology, that's the way that the Industrial Revolution sold to people.
All these people come back from Africa and say, oh my gosh, the former community was so wonderful. And I don't understand why no one's ever tried to, you know, replicate it. Mm-hmm. Like, why do they get so discouraged? But anyway, that's kind of like the song, the beginning. What are we waiting for?
Yeah.
I can't wait, you know, and there's no really, it's kind of like we say, when you do right, it's hard to do wrong. When you do it sustainably, when you do it yourself, it's really hard to, I don't want to say trust people to do it better, but, you know, just you're self-sufficient mm-hmm. and there's no fear. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. We just need to jump that bridge. I was just talking to a friend about that yesterday, is that, I mean, I think people want it in theory, but people today have been intentionally, I would say intentionally, de-skilled. I mean, most average person doesn't have very many practical skills. Like you said, the specialization problem, you have one very specific set of skills, but I think the more we can reskill people and, you know, teach each other how to do functional things like grow food, things that need to be done or we die, you know, mm-hmm. The better it will be, because self-reliance is kind of contagious, I think. And when people see it, they want to have that. I think I have a very optimistic view of human nature that a lot of people don't share, but I think you do.
So I just see people being able to travel more, people being able to get more of an education because it exists around them. I see people being able to lead healthier lives and being able to, you know, feed their children and themselves. So that's what I see. It's the ultimate. I mean, yeah, there'll still be the world out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is just the beginning, but it only takes a couple generations before people, you know, if we, within three generations, the children born will know nothing of nothing else besides, you know, self-sustainable systems, because we have to, you know.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
Yeah. Because we have to, and because it's awesome.
Yeah.
So great. Is there anything else you want to add just in the last minute or two that we have?
I just want to thank my family for supporting me all the way. I think that is just, it's one of my favorite points to bring up to people. You know, instead of just assuming and judging and laughing, I say, I have a family, you know, like, why haven't you done that for your family? But, you know, people will say they haven't had a chance to. And so I am really, really grateful to have that opportunity. And I promise you, I am not wasting it.
Good.
One well. Bit. That's one of the perks of raising me Catholic.
You've got the so.
And in Girl Scouts.
Yeah, you've got the, I don't know the code, but it's actually a good.
Yeah.
I don't remember the vow, because I wasn't a Girl Scout, but it's about taking care of people in the world and stuff. So you're doing it. Well done. Whether or not it's
through. Well, and I just essentially want people to do it for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So folks can find you on Facebook. If they look up GPS PMS Consortium, which I will link to on my page, which is facebook.com/praxisradio. They can also email you at nwbushman@gmail.com. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll post all those links in the show description, both at kyrs.org under programs, podcasts, praxis, and at praxisradio509.podomatic.com.
Oh, I would like to say we are not a fear mongering group. We are a respect mongering group. Yes.
That's what you're mongering. I think monger is to sell, right? So you're selling respect.
Yes,
to everyone.
Respect your mama.
Good.
That's what I say.
Meaning the big mama.
The big mama.
The earth, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, hey, Margaret, thank you so much for being on.
And your infants.
Respect everyone.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yes. Thank you.
So this has been Praxis on KYRS Medical Lake Spokane 88.1 and 92.3 FM with Margaret Rule from Bruce Rule Design.
Thank you, world. Have a good day.